Would you please pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we take hold of that which is truly life? It's the question posed to us in our lesson in 1 Timothy. How do we take hold of that which is truly life? This is the call of the gospel that Paul is calling out here in 1 Timothy 6. This is how we live out the Christian life, to take hold of eternity as it's held out to us, to walk in this purpose, to cling to this, to grasp onto it and not let it go. To take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us, as Paul says in Philippians 3. How do we take hold of that which is truly life? That phrase, truly life, which is at the end, verse 19 of 1 Timothy 6, but it's a repetition of what he said in verse 12, the phrase truly life implies the existence of not true life, of false lives, pretend lives. There are other things that are competing for our hearts and our devotion that are not truly life. In the context right before our passage begins in 1 Timothy 6, Paul is talking about the love of money, the allures of the world, the false teachings that tickle the ears so that we only hear what we want to hear. Paul says, flee from these things. Flee from these things because these are not just neutral things. These are false gods, false copies of life, lesser imitations that might promise satisfaction and happiness and purpose and life, but they cannot deliver. Last week, we looked into the parable of the shrewd manager to talk about the dangers of the love of money, what the Bible calls mammon, and our call to invest not in this world, but in eternity. And most of our passages today, from Amos to the Gospel, to 1 Timothy here, are also dealing with money and greed and the comfort and ease that comes with accumulating wealth, and the judgment that comes against them. So, while this morning I'm not going to talk directly about the subject of money again, you can go back to last week if you want more of that, but we need to know that that's in the background here as one of the main allures of the world that keep us from taking hold of that which is truly life. These things of the world, whether it is money or the pride of life, or false teachings and philosophies that only affirm what we want to believe. These are false gods. They are play-acting at being an imitation of life, but really they're dragging us down into death. So Paul says, in order to take hold of that which is truly life, we have to flee from these things. Flee from them, run in the opposite direction. And then not just flee from them, but to pursue the virtues of the kingdom of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. These are the virtues of heaven, the qualities that embody eternity. Pursue these things as you flee from those things. And what this looks like is to fight the good fight of faith, he goes on, explaining more of what this looks like. This is the fight that we are entering. That this faith that we claim as Christians is a battle, a fight, a battle that belongs to the Lord, but it needs our engagement. It needs our courage. It needs our skill and our thoughtfulness and our strategic operations of how we live in this world. Fight the good fight. This is a good fight, a fight worth fighting. And we all know there are fights around us that are not worth fighting. They are not good fights. And there are ways to engage in fights that are not good. But this here is a good fight for us to enter. And to fight it in a good way. The way of Christ. So this image of flee from these things and pursue these things is a picture of repentance and faith. Repentance and faith to flee. Repentance is to flee. Faith is to turn and to pursue. This two-step motion of the Christian life, turning away from sin and turning toward Jesus, turning away from the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and turning toward Him who is our life. This is to repent and to put our faith in, to flee those things, pursue these things. This is the constant shape of the Christian life. This is what the good fight looks like. To repent and to put our faith in Christ, to flee the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to pursue the things of the kingdom of God. So we're called to enter the fray, to be engaged in this, to set our minds and our purposes on these things. And the point that this is calling us to remember is that the Christian life is not something that you can just coast through. Not something that you can just sit back at ease and just wait for when Jesus comes back. Or wait for what the day that your life ends here. That this is a good fight that we're called to enter with courage and hope and steadfastness and righteousness and faith and love and all the qualities of the kingdom. To enter the fight. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in this world surrounded by the things of this world that are constantly aiming to numb us to the things of eternity. To cast that fog around our hearts and our minds and our habits. They ensnare us with what is the appearance of life. The empty promises of satisfaction and purpose. But they always end up leading us into this malaise of purposelessness and dissatisfaction. Because they are not truly life. They're an imitation. And I don't know about you all. I don't want an imitation. I want the real thing. Have you ever seen, if you go to grocery stores and you get this product on the shelf that looks like cheese and it looks like squared thin slices of something yellow and it's called imitation cheese food? They cannot legally call it cheese, but it's made to look like and kind of taste like cheese. And it's got this kind of unnatural quality to it. Like when you put it on the grill, it doesn't melt, it just sweats. You know that kind of what I'm talking about? Imitation cheese food. This kind of cheap knockoff that's an insult to real cheese. This is the kind of imitations that we're dealing with. These are the kind of false, cheap knockoffs that the world gives to us and says, this is life. Take hold of this. Pursue these things that will give you purpose, satisfaction, happiness. But it's really a cheap knockoff. Paul says, flee from these things and take hold of that which is truly life. Pursue the things of God. Reject the things of this world that are just a bad imitation of life. Don't settle for less than what is truly life. You are here, most of you, because you have made the good confession that Paul commends Timothy for. You've made the good confession that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your soul and that He's the Lord of your life. You have confessed and committed yourself to walking in His ways, to living a life that honors Him and seeks to bless others with His love. And you have done this because the grace of Christ has reached out to you and taken hold of your life. It's not because that you are special. It's not because you are worthy. Not because of how good you are or can be. It's because of His grace. It's because of how good He is and the forgiveness of sins that He offers us on the cross and the new life He offers through His resurrection. By these things, by grace, Jesus has taken hold of your life. Amen? I hope that's true of all of us gathered here. And if it's not, let's talk. But the call for us now is to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. To take hold of eternal life that He holds out to us. To take hold of abundant life that He alone can give to us. To take hold of the everlasting joy that endures even through the sufferings of this present age. To store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, investing in that future foundation that will outlast all the things on earth. Take hold of life. What is truly life? And sometimes that's going to mean for us letting go of the things that are not life. Whatever that might be for you. What do you put your hope in? Paul calls out here those who trust in their riches, who put their hope on the uncertainty of riches, of your wealth, your 401k, your assets, whatever it is, your comfort. What do you spend all your time on? What do you trust in for your life and your happiness that is less than truly life? Sometimes the call is to let go of these things so that we can make our lives about a pursuit of Christ and the things of Christ, the virtues of the kingdom that will outlast all other things, to take hold of life. And just as an aside, this is why the spiritual disciplines are an important tool for us. Spiritual disciplines are practices and habits that do not make us holy in and of themselves, but practices and habits that form our hearts and our minds, and within which the Holy Spirit can do the work of making us holy. These disciplines are what start in our will, our choices, and as they're practiced in our outer habits and actions, they're going to form our inner heart and our minds and our thoughts. They're not something you do because you feel like it, but you do them so that the Holy Spirit will sanctify your feelings and make you want to do them more and more. So these spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, daily being in the Word of God through Scripture, works of mercy and generosity, times of silence and solitude, times of community and fellowship, fasting and feasting, all these spiritual disciplines that are given to us, passed down from the church, are to form our hearts and minds so that our lives are one great pursuit of taking hold of eternal life. The preacher Charles Spurgeon said this in his commentary on this passage. He said, "This life once laid hold upon is exercised in holy acts. From day to day, we lay hold on eternal life by exercising ourselves unto godliness in deeds of holiness and loving kindness. Let your life be love, for love is life. Let your life be one of prayer and praise, for these are the breath of the new life. We still live this animal and mental life, but these must be the mere outer courts of our being. Our innermost life must be spiritual and wholly consecrated to God. Lay hold on the eternal life by exercising it continually, never allowing it to lie dormant." So Spurgeon's saying here, we exercise this laying hold of eternal life. That means we practice it, we live it out by living out the virtuous Christian life daily. This life that Paul says is unstained and free from the reproach of the world. A life that pursues the things of heaven and flees from the snares of this world. Practices, habits, outward actions, the exercise, outward practice of eternal life looks a particular way. It'll look a little bit different for each one of us. But there are things that we know. This is what eternal life looks like. This is what abundant life looks like. So this is how we can take hold of that which is truly life. It starts with recognizing the things of this world, whether it's love of money or pride or success or comfort or entertainment or whatever it is, recognizing these for what they truly are. Fake imitations. Cheap knockoffs. And then pursuing the things of God through our actions and our habits and practices. This is what's going to lead us into a life of purpose and joy and life as we live for Jesus. I really felt led to preach this to us today because the Holy Spirit has been preaching it to me. I'll just share with you that recently I've experienced some conviction in my own habits and disposition of my heart and mind that have been settling for lesser things. And that they've been formed by these lesser things. My heart, my mind, my habits have been formed by cheap imitations of life. And I've let that happen over years. And I'm not going to go into all publicly here, but for me, one of the key things I've been noticing is the constant shallow distractions of my phone and entertainment and social media that have so often drawn me into this spiritual malaise where I don't feel like I can hear from God or be attuned to His presence. And speaking for myself, just because the quote-unquote big sins aren't really an issue for me at this point in life, doesn't mean that the devil isn't actively working through whatever means he can to keep me from taking hold of eternal life. And he can be really effective. And I've been reflecting on how I don't think the devil always needs to tempt me with the big temptations, so long as he can keep me distracted and numbed to the things of heaven. Maybe that's you too. Maybe not with this specific issue, but something in me stirs and is discontented and restless with this situation that I want more than this. I was made for more than this. You and I were made for glory. We were made for eternity. And we're settling for imitation cheese food. We're settling for less than the glory of heaven when we take comfort and hope in these things that will not last. Lord, break through the malaise. Break through the numbness of this world with life and with glory, with the power of your Spirit calling us to take hold of you. Take hold of that which is truly life. Get your grip upon it and do not let it go. And maybe let go of some of the things your life has been gripping onto. So what does that mean for you? I can't answer that for you specifically, though you know I'm always happy to sit with you, discuss, and pray about it. But perhaps it means fleeing from some of the things in which you have often found comfort or hope or rest or that fleeting sense of purpose that teases you by saying, here's how you can be satisfied. It gives you a glimpse of a moment and then leaves you feeling empty. And a lot of these things are not bad things in and of themselves, but we need to ask, is this truly life? or am I settling for the cheap knockoff? And I don't think that Christian faithfulness requires all of us to forsake the world and go live like hermit monks. But Christian faithfulness does require us to know what it is that our lives are taking hold of, what it is that our souls are clinging to, that we're putting our hope in. Christian faithfulness does require us to analyze and to think about our hearts, our patterns, our habits, and what it is we're putting our trust in. And asking, is this truly life or just an imitation? Paul says, for those things that are imitations, to flee from these things and pursue the things of eternity, the qualities of heaven, to enter the good fight of faith with courage and with hope, for daily declaring our allegiance in this fight to the side of Jesus Christ, and to know our enemy, to know the tricks and the snares of the world, the flesh and the devil, so that by faith you can push them back. This is the fight that we're in, and we need to know that we're in it. If this all sounds a bit intense, that's because it is. Have you heard the quip that was made famous by the movie The Usual Suspects? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist. I think the second greatest trick that the devil ever pulled is to make us settle into a false peace because we don't know the battle that we're in the midst of. That he has us content to just lounge and relax while the battle is raging around us. And to ignore it. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. To guard our souls, to know that we are taking hold of that which is truly life. And not being misled by the cheap knockoffs that the world throws at us. This is a battle that we're called to enter into. This is a fight. It is a constant pursuit that needs our daily attention and diligence. And it's going to be a challenge day by day until Jesus returns or the Lord calls us home. But it is a challenge that is worth it because of who it is who has called us, who it is that we are coming to and pursuing with all of our lives and taking hold of with all of our souls. We're coming to Him who Paul says is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. This is our God, our Savior, who has called us out of darkness and into His glorious light, into eternity. This is the one who is worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise, and the sacrifice of our lives. To take hold of eternal life is to take hold of Him who gives Himself to us. Take hold of Jesus. Take hold of Him who is truly life. To hold fast to Him, to cling to Him with all of our lives, because He is our life and our salvation. He alone is worthy of our lives. Because He has taken hold of us, and He will hold us fast to the end. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise You that You have taken hold of our lives. And we pray, Lord, that in Your grip, that we would be made aware of all the other things that we are giving our lives to. All the false gods and the cheap imitations that call us to them and allure us with empty promises. Lord, help us, give us grace to flee from the things that are dragging us away from you, and to pursue with all of our hearts and all of our lives, and to take hold of you, to take hold of you who are our true life, our true hope. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Help us know what this means for our hearts, for our lives. And throughout these next few days and this next week, I pray that you would give us that nudge in the in-between moments of our days to take hold of that which is truly life. And may it be for your glory, may it be for our good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.